There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
And here we are with the Regrettable Podcast. Yeah. Episode 25.
Yeah.
That's like a quarter of 100.
Yes, it is.
If somebody's 25,
I don't think
years
it's
old.
Like a, it just is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it not like we're one before, one ahead, or something like that? Like, you know, how like the 2019, you know, Electra is actually the 2018 model.
But we're also, you know, Back to the Future, guys, because somebody right now, although we're cutting 25, is listening to number 8.
Probably. Maybe. I hope so.
Mind blown.
Somebody close to me was like, I got to catch up. Can you send me episode 4? Because it's not on Spotify.
That's awesome.
We got a few more. You got a whole lot of listening to do.
Go to iTunes.
No. Go to iTunes. That's right. Spotify. The mystery has been solved. We solved it many episodes ago on why.
Yeah.
I said some colorful language. And it's not the one you're thinking.
Nope.
No.
The other one.
It's the other one.
Yep.
The other one you're not supposed
that
to say.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like the McDonald's story, right? With the super punch and everything.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's it.
With the
do we know what episode right off the top of our head?
That's episode 4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no. Yes.
Yes.
Episode 4.
No, I mean,
that's the one that's
with the one we explained it already.
Ooh, I don't know about that. 17, 18, something like that. Whenever shout out my man Chance Lambeth wrote in.
Okay.
He said, and what about the mystery of episode 4?
Yes.
It's not on Spotify. That's the ticket right there.
Okay.
But yeah, here we are, episode 25 of the Regrettable Podcast, and this particular show is sponsored by Laura Lindley, attorney at law in downtown DeQueen.
Give her a call.
Give her a call at the number.
Historic downtown DeQueen.
870-642-4462.
That's
like
right.
The building she's in is like 150 years old or something. Right.
Yes.
But
updated policy and just great and updated tactics.
21st century litigation techniques.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yes. Which I hate old buildings. Can I say that? Is that okay to say? Will I get canceled for that?
Sure.
There's a little bit of a controversy developing in our community
now. Hilarious.
About a building that's 116 years old that the city raised to the ground the other day because
that little thing,
it's like a 3-4 story building downtown DeQueen.
Burned to the ground?
Yes.
Okay.
They burned it. Yeah,
I got. Is that the best way to do it?
Good picture of it on our website.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just like flames shooting out the windows and stuff.
Controlled burn.
I didn't know a brick building would just burn, but it did.
Okay.
It certainly did. No, it explodes.
Yeah. Ooh, even
that's
better.
The worst thing to ever make a fire pit out of is masonry bricks.
Right.
Yes, because at some point over time, they will explode like a bomb in your face and send masonry shrapnel in all directions.
When you're burning a mason-built building, are you supposed to wear like the Hurt Locker, like bomb gear?
Maybe like
that's
going to
help you, by the way. Like if you're a bomb diffuser in Iraq in 2010 or whatever, you know.
That's a good year.
Good year, right?
A lot of good IEDs that year. That was a good year for IEDs.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
And explosively formed penetrators, EFPs, as well. So
if you're doing that, do you really think that gear is going to help you out? Has it ever saved somebody?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really?
A lot of these bombs are very like low explosive, low yield, and those EOD suits, the explosive ordnance disposal suits, they're pretty serious.
Do you just walk away with maybe some broken bones or something?
Yeah,
impact,
concussion, maybe.
Yeah, okay,
I mean, now, if you're like trying to defuse like a 12,000-pound Grand Slam bomb that didn't explode in World War II, probably not going to help you out. But like a lot of your average IEDs, that's maybe made
bomb.
From a Coke can or like an old mortar shell or something.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's a good chance, it's going to throw you back. You're probably going to break some bones, but you'll live to see tomorrow.
Okay. I never watched the movie, so shout out Catherine Bigelow. But yeah, man, episode 25, super excited, big episode. We're on Facebook Live now, so go join our Facebook. It's literally Regrettable Podcast. I don't know, did you change it? I thought it was Regrettable Pod 1, or maybe that's one of the other things.
That's
or,
Twitter.
I don't know, that's Twitter. Yes, we got to change all that up. Right. But we'll get there, you know.
I wasn't finished with my building story.
But go ahead, dude.
I got a little bit of a, not an argument, a debate, a discussion with somebody a previous night. Who was very much a supporter of old historic buildings, and to me, it's just like a focal point for rats and cockroaches and just asbestos, you know,
built
stuff
by
like
people
that.
Stupider than the people now.
Absolutely, like imagine, and nobody else wants to go back 115 years from now, you know, let alone like architects. So they burned this building down. Some people were like kind of upset by. I'm good riddance. I was waiting for a tornado to hit the dang thing and just level it. It's one of those, like a tornado would have done like $1 million worth of improvement to our city here.
Dang. Now this is staying
I like
in,
new
right?
buildings. Yes, okay. Absolutely. I like new that. Buildings. Okay. Now I'm down with buildings that are like 500 years old. Notre Dame, cool with that, right. You know.
So you're not cool with blowing up the Sistine Chapel or something?
No. No. Right. What is that? Neuschwanstein Castle in Germany? The Cinderella Castle or
and
something?
Any castle.
Yeah, I'm
castle.
Cool.
Are there new castles? This castle is built in 2018.
Right, absolutely.
It's got 5 bedrooms,
right.
3 bathrooms.
Modern air conditioning. But
35 hearths.
Yeah. For any local folks listening, they're going to know what I'm talking. Good riddance is what I say.
Yeah.
You'll level it, make a parking lot out of it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, but I'm with that like all of America.
Yeah,
all of America except for
the
Broken
Grand
Bow
Canyon,
Lake,
right?
Oh, Broken Grand Canyon. Put I don't even care if you
fill
like,
it up, put a strip mall on
yeah,
top of it.
Yeah, that's right, 100%. I want to pave the United States. I want the entire United States to have yellow markings on it, like Yosemite. Just knock that mountain down, put everything down.
How's that song go? Put up a parking lot.
Oh, what
parking lot? Paved paradise.
Is that Uncle Cracker?
Yeah, paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
There you go.
Limp Biscuit?
Limp Cracker.
Limp Cracker. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm down with that idea.
Yeah, just whatever it is, whatever it takes to get rid of the ticks, right?
Yes.
That's your policy.
Yeah. Except for Broken Bow Lake. I'll gladly just have all the ticks localized in Broken Bow Lake if it means I get to swim in it. Shout out hosting Hochatown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
What up?
Well, yeah. Anything else on the old building story? Because I'm with you. I don't care. As somebody's like, this building's 200 years old. Okay. What does that do for me? There's no Wi-Fi. There's no Chinese food. That's my policy.
You've been reading the New York Times lately. We've been trying to erase the last 100 years. Okay?
That's true.
Or maybe more.
I've been seeing a lot of ads for it. I'm on HBO now. HBO Go Max now. Like they. By the way, I've subscribed to each one of those, and they keep changing it. So it's like your subscription has ended because that app sucks. Here's our new app. And it's HBO, what is it? Max now.
Max
I'm
now?
Sure next year it'll be HBO
Live.
Live or something like that.
Because Xbox Live got rid of their Xbox Live.
Yeah, what is it? It's Xbox Network now, which means it's going to be more expensive and you're going to pay for things that you don't want.
Exactly.
Like, so I've got to also subscribe to this. It's all, hey, we're packaging it all up for your convenience.
Don't worry, Game Pass is included now.
Yeah, it's going to be, all that stuff is going to be just consolidated. Anyway, New York Times ad. I actually kind of like it. I kind of like the ad for it. I like an ad for news, and it's. I mean, this is why the news sucks nowadays, right? Is because before you would have to pay for a newspaper, or right, or like subscribe to a magazine like the Atlantic or something.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's all gotta be you gotta subscribe online. But when you subscribe online, you're still getting the native advertising.
Sure.
Right. Mm. So that still sucks. The fact that you got to read an ad and decipher, like, is this, or read an article and be like, is this an ad or is this an article? Because most of the time when you look up a problem on Google, it'll be like, let's say for computers especially, computer problem, it'll always be like, fix it with this app. And it's on their website.
The top three queries are going to be
ads.
Absolutely.
They call it native advertising, right? That's when it's like you read a story on, I don't know, a HuffPo or something like that, and it's all about, like, you know, what, I don't know, the 10 best chocolate bars,
right?
Sponsored by Kit Kat, you know, and the number one's Kit Kat.
Top two are different
that's pretty much half of cable news is like sponsored right. news stories, which is not that that's like an oxymoron, you know.
Right.
If it's sponsored, it's probably not going to be a news story. It's just going to be a propaganda piece for some product, advertising, marketing.
So where do you go to find non-native advertising? Like, I don't know, New York Times. Like, I figure if you subscribe, that crap should get filtered out, and you shouldn't be able to see it.
If you pay the subscription fee, you should be able to get ad-free.
Right. Are you subscribed to The Atlantic still?
I am, yes.
Do you get a lot of ads where it's like you got to filter through it and be like, that's not a real news article?
It's all advertising. Honestly, on The Atlantic, the only advertising is most people who read The Atlantic are pretty well off. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the advertising I don't even glance at because it's like, you know, charter your private jet today. You know,
right.
Hey, have you thought about renting a super yacht? Yeah, here's the latest line of watches from Rolex. It's a lot of stuff like that that I just like.
I get the same stuff.
Instantly glance over.
Do they still do the magazine?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So
now
magazine.
I just do the online subscription.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the way we speak, that tells you something right there. The way we speak makes these AI feel like we are millionaires.
I guess so. I don't know.
Seriously.
Love one.
Because I get Rolex, but I mean, I'm a fan of Rolex too. Mm. I follow them on social media. So I understood that one. But I get, just the other day, I got the charter a private plane with us for $10,000 a month.
That seems fairly cheap.
That's what I thought too, but I still can't afford $10,000 a month.
The fact that like one first class ticket might cost you $10,000
somewhere.
Exactly.
That's what, and that was the pitch basically was private flight is cheaper than you may think.
Right.
So if you can afford $120,000 a year for private flight, then why not? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you sick of flying first class every month to your super PAC board meeting?
Yeah.
Charter or private plane? No, they already own a private plane. What am I talking about?
Yeah, that's true too.
But you're taking a plane earlier or later today, man.
Yes.
Like literally today, this is being recorded on Wednesday the 16th. It'll release on Friday the 18th. Jay Lindley off to Vegas, man.
My middle daughter, Julia, the twin, she turns 21, so obviously her twin brother does too, but he's stationed in Hawaii.
Hawaii, having a time of his own,
right? Yeah. He sends me snaps every day. You know, we talk about multiple things, and one of them is that he's on the beach every single afternoon, eating his lunch on the beach,
right?
So,
and then he's got to give like 50 push-ups afterwards,
we're taking his sister Julia to her 21st birthday in Vegas.
And she is not in the Marines.
Correct.
Got you.
So she is a manager of a restaurant in Bricktown, Oklahoma. Downtown Bricktown.
That's pretty nice. Like for most parents, what do you do on your kid's 21st birthday? I don't know, give him like a plastic bottle of Screech Owl whiskey or something?
No, Jay Lindley takes him to Vegas.
Yeah, heck yeah.
That's a real man right there. Last time I went to Vegas, I figured out my flow, so I'm ready to go again.
Really?
Now that I'm like leaned into it. Yeah, I didn't have my flow the first two times.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about your gambling flow?
My gambling
or
flow.
Or just the whole flow of the time? But your
actually,
flow.
Yeah, whole flow of the time, but also gambling
there's
flow.
There's two flows.
Yeah, there's a few flows.
Yeah, we just going to go to Vegas.
We just got to go to Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's when I found the frozen drinks, which the frozen drinks is like, it's good because you can't get so drunk off of it so fast
because you can't drink it too fast. Yeah, exactly.
And it it's the best thing. You walk up, it's like girls dressed like Playboy bunnies.
Yeah.
And they're sitting at a cart and they've got the frozen, it looks like a snow cone type of setup. And they're like, what you want, blah, 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 get the thing, the flavor, dang, 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 here it is.
Wow.
Super alcoholic drink. And it's like, would you like the extra shot?
We call it the vacation shot.
Yeah. Who are you to say no?
No? You don't want another shot on this?
And they just pour it right on top. And since it's like a Slurpee type thing, it sits on top.
So you gotta
take the shot. And it's all super chilled and so good. But the last time I went, I sat at Video Poker right at the bar.
This is
my new flow.
Okay.
And I'm doing this every time now. And as I put in 20 and I made $1 bets on Video Poker.
Okay.
And the bartender just
kept them coming. And they're free when you're sitting there gambling.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So he had a little cocktail glass sitting there, and every time I ordered a drink, he pulled out a ticket and like slid it into the cocktail glass, and there was like 10 of them, and they all just had comp, you know, printed across it.
That's awesome.
You know, and I got blind wasted just sitting there. I cashed out with 18 bucks. So
From a 20.
Because I kept losing.
10, 12 drinks.
Yeah, $2. couldn't see straight. That was it was the best deal of my life. Something you just can't buy sometimes.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, and they're not checking how much you're gambling.
No, they don't care.
So you could be doing the 25 centers. You know what I mean?
And I was like chilling. I would like smoke a cigarette with it, and then the bartender, because the bar was like a whole circle.
Right.
You know, and as he would peek around the corner, I'd be like, oh, you know, just pretending. Like, bet, bet, bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max bet. No, no. Delete. $1.
One of the first times I went to Vegas was actually for my 16th birthday, and went there. Of course, I was given my aunt, who loved to gamble, and my mom and my mom's best friend. They would go on girls, you know. So they, one of my birthday, my 16th birthday party was a trip to Vegas. So that was cool, but I couldn't obviously gamble. But they gave me a sack of. Basically, they gave me a bucket. They were playing with buckets of coins, but this is back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So I got a bucket of quarters to play.
For the arcade.
At the arcade, yes. Yeah. And, of course, you know, I walk through and I'd see, you know, there's nobody over here in this one. I don't know if I've never told this on the podcast.
Not on the podcast, no.
There's nobody over in this area. So I because you get allowed to walk through the middle of the casino to get to the arcade.
It's like child tape.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you can. You may not be. So I walk through and there's nobody in this area of the casino. So I look around like, who's going to know? I pop in a couple of quarters, pull it. I'm like, oh, you know, it's so exciting. You know, hearts racing. I didn't win anything or nothing. And then I, you know, go on. I did it like two or three times, you know, and I kept going. Looking back on that, obviously they had cameras everywhere. So they saw me doing it, laughing at this kid.
Kid thinks he's slick.
Yes, exactly. Two.
Your money spent just the same.
Yeah. Had I won something, I couldn't have accepted the win. Yeah. So there were win-win. Of course,
they were waiting for the ding, 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 ding. Just come and swoop you up, swoop all the quarters out.
Exactly.
Take your bucket of quarters.
But what made me think about that story was the first time I saw my aunt hit a jackpot was $80 in nickels.
Oh, gosh.
And the nickels fell out of the machine back then.
Right.
So it was like solid 15 minutes of just nickels.
Is that why I see so many old ladies? They got trapped by that in the 80s and 90s of all the quarters shooting out, and now it's just a little it's a little thing that prints out.
Yes.
Or most actually places just have the card, your account, right, that you just put the card in. I remember going to the casino for that. I told this story a few podcasts ago where I got kicked out of the casino for a Christmas party, but I remember a guy at my dealership who was particularly grubby. He was a grubby fellow. Like, he was going around and finding all the cards that people are like, you know, they lose
left
all
like
their money and they just
on.
Put the, yeah,
yes,
they have 82 cents on.
Yes.
And finding them and taking them in the penny slots or whatever. And they still have those. I can't believe it.
Drinking like the half empty drinks that get left around.
Yeah, those up.
Funny.
Yeah.
The half smoked cigarettes.
Right.
Mm. The last time I went, now this was years ago, but the last time I went, there was a handful, like literally probably five. Of the old casinos on the old strip that still had money fall out, you know, like the old school.
And it was have
on
some.
Purpose. Yeah. It was on purpose for the nostalgia.
Novelty.
And I went in there, and you're right. Every leather-faced, blue-haired, smoking a cigarette was. I mean, that area
blue
was
hair.
Packed. That area was packed. You know what I'm saying? Completely. It's like there was not even a spot to get. They were still. You would think they would have whole areas like that because there were so many people in the old-fashioned. Yeah. Money falling out of machines.
What is it about being like an old woman and addicted to gambling? The point that I saw, or the example I saw here that was just so confusing to me is we used to have a pizza place here in town that had VLTs, like the slot machines, except that since this is Arkansas, you couldn't actually, it's illegal to gamble with money.
Right.
But if you could put money into these machines and the prizes was like a free game of bowling. It was a free pizza.
Right.
It was a free drink or something. And there were literally people who lived inside this section of the pizza place / bowling alley. And again, just go buy the pizza. Go buy the game of bowling. Yeah. If that's but if these people, they weren't. I mean, maybe they'd get, you know, 80-year-old lady go get her a pizza afterwards or something. Literally, just feeding addiction is all it was.
Exactly. I got a free pizza. Well, I'm down $600.
Yeah,
right. Free pizza.
That was a $600 pizza.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting addiction that I'm not. I've never. Does not. Well, I guess I kind of am a little bit.
I could easily be addicted to gambling.
Yeah.
The rush it gives you. That's the same kind of rush I get when I jump out of an airplane, when I, you know. So I could see myself being addicted to that.
Right.
But
I can't say because I haven't been to Vegas with, like, a lot of gambling money.
Right.
You know, I won't, like, a little. And I was like, eh, whatever. I'm not super into it. I bought scratch-offs with full money in my bank account. Full amount money in the bank account. Scratch it, lose. Oh, well.
Right.
Like, I'm not that type. But
exactly.
Magic cards is one that's kind of like a gamble. Like, Ooh. It's fun. You get the thing. You open up the cards.
You get a little rush if you find an awesome one.
Dude, I've opened up a $4 pack and pulled a $100 card, you know, which is like, that's the rush, I guess. It's kind of like gambling. I can understand it.
Football, cards, basketball. I got the same thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But the actual whole thing where it's like exchanging the money for the card or putting money into the slot and pulling it and hoping to get a bunch of money out of it, I just don't believe my luck that much.
Gotcha.
Just like, I got terrible luck, so I definitely am not going to win anything.
So when you do win, though, it's got to be that much more sweet.
I guess I've never won. I've never won at a casino.
Well, then in that case, when the three of us go do our podcast from the Wynn Casino or wherever we go, shout out to Excalibur, first place I ever stayed in.
Right.
Then we have to gamble together for more than one day. So 2 days, here's the reason why. My luck plays out in two ways. Either I'm killing it and all the people with me are sucking, or vice versa.
Right.
The people with me are killing it. And I'm sucking. Right. So either way, bro, if you're killing it, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm killing it, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
how much do you got to go to Vegas to enjoy a gambling experience? How much money are you willing to lose, by the way? Because you need money for food. You need money for all the other things, too.
I have come to Vegas with $150 in my pocket and no other money, period. My brother paid for my airplane ticket and all my meals. So he wanted me to go with him. And I was like, kind of broke right now, bro. He's like, oh, whatever. You know, my brother, he's very tight with his money. He bought
a lot of dollar cheeseburgers.
I was going to say, it was. Yeah, he bought two $89 round trip tickets.
Yeah.
So, you know, so anyway, but we had a blast. And I think and that was when I sat down. I brought that money to play poker. I sat down at the Wynn Casino. And won about 300 total on top of my 150.
Right.
This time I think I'm going to probably bring about 800.
Yeah.
That's
where I feel like you're going to be having a good time and you have a good chance of leaving with something as upwards of 1,000.
Yeah.
I've heard a good rule of thumb is about $1,000 because a lot of your meals, drinks, and stuff are going to end up being comped if you're spending a lot of time in the casino. So you can bring $1,000 with you and pretty much know most of that. You can invest into some gambling.
Right.
Now,
and see free shows and all that.
That's
too,
true.
If you do that.
You can get comp shows often. Yeah. But if you're going to bring $1,000, gamble like you only have 100.
Yes, yeah.
Because think about it this way. If you bring, for me anyway, if I bring $1,000, I'm making $100 bets.
Right.
That goes away quick.
Yeah.
But if I bring $100, I'm making dollar bets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if I bring $1,000 but bet like I got $100 in my pocket, that's going to last the whole time.
Right.
And then later on,
chance.
Yeah. And then later on, I could throw some bigger bets out there because I've had plenty of play time, you know?
Right. You got the reservoirs.
Yeah.
To dip into.
Yeah, I think it was the first podcast you were talking about. You're very deliberate about it. You got one pocket with your winning. You got one pocket with, like, that's your spending money. The other one's your winnings, you know? So you got it. You're very deliberate about it. So you'll kind of know where you're at.
I keep the exact amount that I start with in one pocket, and I keep the amount, let's say we're at the roulette table. I hit a number, so I get $200 or whatever on that. I'll take that and put it in the other pocket.
The winning pocket.
Yeah. So now I'm always going to be gambling off that 800 or 1,000 or whatever it is. But and let's say I have a bad day and I go through that quick. I can move another 100 over to the other pocket if I'm doing really well.
I like the idea of just being blind drunk, getting back to the hotel room like, okay, well, my total pocket is gone.
Yeah, I have nothing
so
in this pocket.
Let's see what's going in the winnings. And you pull out $2 bills, some lint. A token for the pizza token. Like,
dope.
Whoops.
Yeah. No, I have pulled out, you know, the end of the night. Okay, Laura's like, okay, well, how much did you lose? And I'm like, what more? Where'd this come from? You know?
Right.
On the boat, Carnival Cruise, I paid for our entire trip once gambling. That's not like the total that you paid to get on the boat, mm-hmm. but like every meal we ate, every excursion, her massages, I paid for it all gambling.
And that's not easy because the casino on a Carnival cruise ship is the most rigged thing in the world. I mean, it's like a Ugandan election. It's that rigged.
Right.
I agree because the first two nights when you're heading out, everybody's winning. Every other night as you're docked or heading in, nobody's winning.
Right. They're so just sitting there like depressed. And,
exactly.
Ugh, so dark face. Smoked out.
Yep. Basically what I'm saying is gamble early on a Carnival cruise.
There you go.
Get first day, first second day.
And cut and run.
Yeah, words from the wise.
Yes, sir. And then play like poker games. The games that are, I'm talking about slot machines. If you're going to do some slots, play the first couple of days because those are the machines, they can turn them up or down on their percentage output. That's legal. So
there's still some skill associated with card games, with table games. So,
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Next Vegas trip, sitting at a
blackjack.
I'm sitting right here
for
like a few hours, like, you know, because that's where you put in, you know. But like you said earlier today, like the 10-hour game, no, I'm not down with that. But 2-3 hours of sitting there, you know, something about watching people get up from the table and leave that like sat down after you. You know,
sat
down and the guy came and got cleaned out and left. I've never been in that position where I'm like doing that, but like, I'd like to be there.
Right. So card games, you're number one in Vegas?
Is that
what you said? What about you?
Yeah, definitely.
Card games for sure. Yeah. For sure. I think
that's when they, I was really tempted. I haven't done it, but local casino here, they introduced tabletop games recently. And I thought that was a great thing. Slot machines, I mean, that is literally just feeding an addiction, you know, or formulating.
I see no fun in it.
No, I mean, they're designed to be fun.
They're exciting when they hit a jackpot.
Lots of noises, colors, and stuff like that. Right. But you're totally at the discretion, the mercy of the casino itself. Not to say that table games are rigged. They're not rigged at a casino. Right. You know, the dealer doesn't usually win at blackjack for no reason. You know, but at least you got some control over that blackjack. Poker.
You get information and you get to decide to bet or not.
Absolutely, yeah.
Versus just hitting a button.
Yeah, but there is something, the coolest thing to me about sitting at like a slot machine, the big slot machine, is the waitresses that come up and say, can I get you a drink? Like, that's the best part. So if you're going to Vegas with $150 in the pocket and you're not wanting to lose that money, I'm saying that video poker, like at the bar, right at the bar. You're just looking for a good time, not to gamble a whole bunch. Sit there.
That's a good point.
You got people, you got transients coming in and out. I had a live show next to me where I watched two people on acoustic guitars play Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz, which is such a great song.
Yeah, I love that.
Destroyed.
I love the Gorillaz. I love all of their music.
But and they,
yeah, that's a great song too.
They killed that. Bartender was cool. People here, yeah, leaving, coming, going. And I'm just sitting there and I lost $2 and I had like 10, 15 drinks.
Which is in Vegas, that's probably $200 worth of drinks.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking, you're going there. You can go there with nothing.
Yeah.
You can totally go there
with
nothing.
Yeah, you can. Bare minimums.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not nothing. Yeah, you can go there with $0 and you're not going to have a great time.
Shout out to Octave, the master of finding great deals. He found like the alcohols that were like, half off at this hour. You know what I mean? Master. Because he knows how to have a good time.
Right.
Even though he's tight with the money, he knows how to have a good time. Well, we went to McDonald's one morning for, you know, the dollar biscuit. That's what you figure. You're getting a dollar biscuit. I love the dollar biscuit, so I don't care.
Dollar biscuit's great.
No. Okay. In Vegas, and this is what the person told me. I just believed it. So somebody may write in and say that's horseshit. But in Vegas, it costs more to make a biscuit than it does in the McGriddle because how much water goes into the making of the biscuit. So the McGriddles were the dollar. Hmm. The biscuits were hot. Even on the regular menu when it wasn't special,
biscuits
were more expensive than the McGriddles.
Right.
And I was like, McGriddles all day, baby.
Yeah.
I'm a McGriddle fan.
Yeah, McGriddle man.
So, yeah. But anyway, I don't know why that was weird. But yeah, takes more water. I'm going to have to look this up now. takes more water to make a biscuit than it did a McGriddle in the creation process.
Hmm. All kinds of little life hacks. Well, that's why if I stay somewhere, I may not want to put out all the money for an embassy hotel room, but I will get a hotel next to the embassy because the buffet, the breakfast buffet at the embassy is first class, and they don't check. They don't check your if you're actually a patron at the hotel or not. You just walk in. So I will get the cheaper hotel next to the embassy and go just go eat the embassy breakfast buffet.
As somebody who utilizes the embassy, because with kids, that's breakfast that you don't have to pay for.
Yeah, that's like a free night.
Exactly. So we utilize it. Here's something. I'll give you another life hack, brother. At 5 p.m., the embassies have free drinks.
That's right. Yes.
So
a free happy hour.
And if you can get through, if they have seen you already in breakfast, they may not check your card.
That's right.
For the drinks, i.e., you get free drinks.
Absolutely. And like the average bartender, and they sometimes do like a little light dinner as well
at those snacks. Embassies. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. And I mean, they're just like, well, are you a patron here at our hotel? Of course I am. Like, how dare you? I've been staying at this hotel for a decade now.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of this?
You throw out there, they don't get paid enough to like, to like question
room 912.
It.
Thank you.
Yes.
They're like, wait a minute. We only have eight floors. Bad joke.
Well, yeah, Vegas, man, super excited for you. Excited to talk about it when you get back. Make sure any story that happens, any funny stripper encounter you see on the strip or something, just let us know.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
can I give you like $100 and you gamble it for me?
I will do it, and I'll even FaceTime you while I'm gambling, so you see the winnings.
I told you I needed $250 really bad.
Yeah.
So
I'll give you $20. Make that happen.
Thank you. but yeah, moving away. Unless we anybody else? I'm good on that. Vegas. All right.
I'll just say it killed me one time when I first moved down here. There's sometimes very traditional attitudes around here, and that can very much tie into a Las Vegas experience. But I remember someone around here telling me once they had to fly to California for something family related or whatever, and as they were flying over Las Vegas, they started praying. And this is a very religious person, and praying that the plane would not be struck down because they were certain that that the big man up in the sky would not appreciate the fact they were flying over Las Vegas and strike the plane down, which I thought was very that's thinking quite highly of yourself to think that that somebody is just like you're going to fly you right there. Right. Fly over Vegas. A plane with 300 people on it. Nah, I'm sorry. Because of you, the whole thing's going down.
Because Vegas is like Sodom, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget
a little Gomorrah, too, I think.
But some Gomorrah in there.
Forget the 3 million people that are in Vegas.
Yeah. Right.
You're flying over it. Yeah. So you're going to hell right now.
It was just a sentiment I'd never heard anyone express ever in my life before, and not since. You know?
That's great. I mean, that is what gives people that believe a bad name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Or just like, come on, come on,
come on, come on. You could pray, but you ain't got to tell people you're praying. Think about it.
And this was at the, you know, also the same person who once told me, like, they've, you know what would fix the problem in the Middle East? A couple of nukes. And I was thinking, like, that's Israel. You know, there's Nineveh, you know, the birthplace of Jesus.
They're
and
all humans.
Such. Yeah.
How about
that part? They're all humans. Yeah. They might be a little darker skin than you, but come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah. Again. Giving believers bad names, right?
That's
there.
Something. It's good sometimes to think two things at once, okay? But not in that direction. All right.
Sure.
Ouch. Hey, by the way, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, one of the greater movies of all time, by the way.
Definitely. I guess if I had to go to Vegas with anybody, Johnny Depp would be a good choice.
Absolutely.
I guess maybe I should send him an email. Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Just a lot of experience, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, going away from that, I did want to talk a little bit about some camping stories. I think we all maybe have a little bit of good camping stories. But
it's that time of year, right?
It's that time of year, yeah. We were thinking about going pretty soon again. We just recently had a really good camp, a two-day camp.
Two-night.
When you have a two-night camp, it's so much different than a one-night camp.
Definitely.
You know, it's completely different. It's way more luxurious. It's way more stuff.
Meals taste better.
Oh, of course.
Think about it.
Of course.
The meals taste better over two nights versus just that one night. Because it's not really a camping meal when you're just there one night.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, we've done it, but the two nights, like, you know, that first night that we went camping, we just did like dogs and whatnot and some snacks. And then the breakfast was huge. And then the actual dinner at night was even huger.
Nice.
Yeah. And we were swimming all day. So Broken Bow Lake, looking beautiful still right now, but the lake's up really high. So we're hoping to get back to our normal lake level so we can get to the point that we like to get on and camp there. Lots of good stories had over at Broken Bow Lake for sure. One of the more recent ones that I got into, which is a little bit traumatic. Not traumatic. I don't think about it at all. But it was kind of one of those experiences where I feel like I could have died. Could have, you know, was in Arizona.
You got PTSD?
No, I ain't got no PTSD. No, in Arizona, we went camping down in the Verde Valley. And as the Verde River or whatever it is, it's got some rapids in it a little bit. And we decided to go tubing down it at night, like very drunk, very drunk.
Midnight.
Yeah.
We decided to go do this.
Which is probably a bad idea anyway.
Big time, yeah. And it was like a 20-minute walk from the campsite to find the place where to launch at, you know, to like go up the river so we could float down back to our campsite. Right. So I didn't even have a flashlight on me. That's how I was wasted, and I just had glow sticks all over me. Mm. And a boogie board. So everybody's on tubes, and I'm on like this boogie board. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock. Let's do this. And I'm seeing people, like, it's rushing water where we're standing. And I'm like, this is a little more intense than I thought it would be. And everybody, you know, one person gets in on the tube, and it's like, shoo, shoo. And I'm like last, right? I'm going in last, like, go ahead, you know. And I couldn't make my way back if you paid me $2,000. I would not have been able to make my way back. You remember that. It was like up this, down this, through these tall grass and up. And my only choice was to get in that water. That was it.
And it wasn't so bad, right, when we first put in. But it quickly, the river narrowed. And, I mean, it was going like 25, 30 miles an hour at that point.
It was bad at the immediate. I'm telling you. Yeah. I watched you get in. It was like, phew. And everybody was going down.
I want to say maybe you were ahead of me, because I swear I saw you clinging to a rock at some point.
No.
And I just floated right by. Maybe that was somebody else.
I was the last person in, and I got in, and my boogie board went away from me, and now I'm going down, and I'm like bashing into these rocks. Like, I'm getting carried. Like, I've never felt so utterly manhandled in my life, like a massive giant of a man was just like toying with me and throwing me around. And like at one point, like I was trying to stop myself and was able to like extend my legs out, which is probably the worst thing that you can do, like onto a rock.
Oh, no.
And then it like lifted me up and I went face first. And that's when I didn't hit bash up my face, but it was like so many instances in which I could have.
Right.
And at one point, finally, like halfway, you're right, it was getting quicker as it went down, but that initial drop in was crazy fast. Like the moment I got into it, I was like, I'm completely out of control of my own life right now. And bashing down these rocks, and finally I was clinging and was able to make my way over to the shore, which was completely overgrown with stuff. And
it was like going down a tunnel. It was so overgrown.
Damn.
Yeah. And if you remember, right along that shore, man, just thousands of spiders and webs across, like the just all in the overgrown shore area.
It's arachnophobia style.
Yeah, but of course in that instance it didn't even bother me. I was hanging onto reeds, like letting myself down with reeds and like walking my way down the river, and just spider webs and spiders all over. I could feel like 100 of them on me.
Dang.
And finally made it to the point where like it let go. The river opened up, and I just, you know, and at that point again, I know I had lost control again. I really got spat out at the end of that, and I was way behind everybody else. Like everybody else had made it up this rock face already to this. I'll get to that point, but it spits me out, and I cannot, like, not even close to touching the ground. So here I am, like absolutely blind, wasted, no flashlight. Like, thank goodness for the glow sticks that I had. I had like one on my head and one on my arm, and it was like giving me just enough light to like navigate through complete darkness. And then like into the river where it just like I just sank, like, you know, like, oh, okay, you know, had to quickly make my way back up and swam over. And there was this cliff face that everybody was climbing up to, this natural hot spring, right? Yeah. It was like a hot tub that somebody had built, like a hot tub around. It's hard to explain, I guess.
But yeah, it was awesome. It was one of those like CCC projects from the 30s or something. They built like a big concrete wall real high. I mean, like, I don't know, it was like 20, 30 feet yeah. high or something, and then built, and there was like a natural hot springs up there. So they walled it off to collect the hot spring water or whatever. But I remember waiting before I climbed up there, because I remember seeing your boogie board shoot down the river and there was no Tyler on it. And I was like, well, I'll give it a few minutes before I start to get real concerned. And yeah, finally you see you flopping down the river yeah. into the water, and man, you were sour about that.
I was so pissed, dude. I like climbed up and I immediately went over to because the whole idea for the boogie board was like this guy that we know who was taking us on the whole trip. He's like, yeah, just take a boogie board, it'll work out, you know, it'll be fine. And I walked right, I'm like, what the heck? Like, yeah, I can't even say what I said to him, but I was yelling at him. And eventually
I remember you were like, I almost died. And we were like, ah, you're fine, though. Come on. I was blowing it off.
Yeah. I mean, I was heated. I probably shouldn't have reacted like that. But I was scared at that point. Not scared anymore.
Right. You dipped in the hot tub.
I was mad. I was afraid.
Yeah, you went like, from, you know, afraid to angry yeah. that you were afraid.
Right, exactly. Right. You ever get afraid by something? You go, hey.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That was the feeling. And
that's a man reaction. Totally.
Yeah.
It's gotta
yeah.
be.
So I climb up, and the first thing I see is this guy that we don't know in the hot spring, completely naked. Yeah.
What?
And I'm like, who is this
He's
guy?
He's like floating on top of the water, and it's like his little bird kind of yeah. like flopping
like
out of the water.
Worm. It's yeah. like bobbing. It was like a bobber in the water. And
I mean, I do that in the bathtub if I ever take a bath.
It was just like what you're thinking.
But
yeah.
you don't
and there's
do
like
that in
women.
Public. Yeah.
There's like
yeah.
women with us too. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And they didn't come all this way to see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You must be a grower. You ain't no shower. That's what it's like. But yeah, that was one. We ended up having to get back in the river and make our way down. And it like got even crazier down there, but I was sharing a tube at that point. I was like, I don't care. Somebody move over. I'm getting in the tube. And made it back safe and sound. And I am, in fact, still alive.
Yeah.
So that.
Cool. I was wondering how the story ended.
Yeah, yeah. The worst part was the spiders.
I bet.
But, like, it was only the initial, like, webs in my face that I just hulked through it, I guess. You know, like, the initial was like, no, wait, I don't care.
Going. It's funny
yeah,
how
keep going.
You man up in those situations, and you do things that you didn't think you were you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the crazier camping trips I took was maybe one of the first ones down here, and it was very much one of those, just like, you end up doing a lot of things that you didn't think you were gonna do. And I do like a wilder camping experience, especially off the water, bring some boats or whatever. And we got a national wildlife refuge close to here, and it's called Pond Creek National Wildlife and Refuge, and they call it that because there's actual creek that goes through Pond Creek. And there's a few places in the refuge where like a bridge goes over and you can see it. Looks great. It looks like a great floating experience. Now, it's really wild, a lot of cypress knees in the water, gators, stuff like that. We weren't too worried about that. But we were like, no one had ever actually floated through the whole thing. So we were like, we're going to do that. We're going to be the first ones too. So we loaded up a couple flat bottom boats. There was four of us all together. The trip starts so idyllic. And we had mapped out as many places off the road as we could to ensure, like, we even had like supplies positioned at various points along the river, so because we knew we couldn't carry everything we needed with us. It's gonna be a 3-night, maybe 4-night trip. In any case, we put down the river. It starts very idyllic. We find like there's like pitcher plants growing on the sides of the river. It's very beautiful. And after that, it quickly turned into like an absolute nightmare. And it was probably combined like 60, 70 hours of rowing down this river. The water was hardly ever flowing. There was log jams. I mean, just every like a few feet, it seemed, you would either have to push the boat over, push the boat under them, or take all the supplies out of the boat and drag them around these things. And some of the nastiest ones, when you go, so these log jams, just like a log over the river, and the nastiest ones were the ones you go under, and you like brace yourself to squeeze yourself under it. Sometimes you'd have to really push the boat down to get under them, and some of those logs would just crumble to pieces. And of course, that's a perfect place for snakes to hide. You get showered in debris. Fortunately, no one ever got bit by snakes or anything. But the one of the big problems was is that every time we get to a log jam, I had a friend who brought some moonshine. We had a bunch of beer. We had other recreational stuff. We would partake beforehand. We'd all have a beer, some moonshine, and try to decide how we get around. And it would always be such a struggle that the time we got on the other side, we're like, okay, crap, we need another shot of moonshine. Need another beer. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, we'd have to do it all over again. So we quickly had too much going down this very wild portion of the river. And just to put it in some perspective, a couple of things. So it was about 60, 70 hours worth of rowing that we did all together. It took us 4 hours to walk back to our vehicle. Like once we gave up, we didn't actually go all the way through it. But that was just how slow going it was. It was such a fight. Every night we camped out there, it was just in the most terrible spot. I mean, we were having to like clear debris, hack things down just to put up enough spot for a tent. I had a friend who was a forward observer for the Air Force in Iraq, Andrew. Like, so he would be in front of the front lines in Iraq, and he would, you know, he had like a laser designator, and he would point targets out for planes to drop bombs on. He said he felt safer the whole time in Iraq than he did going down this 4-day trip down the river, you know.
Realizing why it's never been done before.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of, I mean, we were all like banked up, beat up, blood, you know, we were all bleeding at the end of it. Left a lot of DNA on that stretch of the river. But the craziest thing I feel like I saw, though, was right at the end, and the creek is, it has all these points where it widens out, and it's like really big ponds. It might be 100, 200 feet across, these really big sections. We love those sections because it was easy going through, but I remember on one of the last ones that we were at, saw something like gold swimming around in the water. And I was telling my boatmate, I was like, let's go over there and check that out. And sure enough, we see it's a giant goldfish in the mouth of an alligator gar. And the alligator gar is just swimming along the water with this goldfish in its mouth. And it was pretty wild. And it was one of those where I say, you have to man up. I told everybody, I kind of planned the whole trip. And I was like, we're never going to have to get in the water because this is nasty, swampy water.
Right.
We had seen alligators every time we went out there to plot it or whatever. It's like, we're going to be fine. We're in the boats. But the problem was there were many log jams where you'd have to get out of the boat to push them over, under, or there was certain spots where there was a maze of cypress knees where you'd have to tip the flat bottoms on their side to squeeze them around through this maze. There were many times I was up to my water, in the water up to my neck, standing on branches in the water, which is nasty. This is alligator filled water, cottonmouth, snapping turtles, just nastiness, you know. But we made it through quite a trip. It was a good one. It was one of those, like, there was like for like a week or so, 2 weeks, we couldn't talk about it. Like, it was like almost like that much of a nightmare. But now it's quite the tale to be told.
When the spiders, when the four of there were some crazy spiders there too, right?
Yeah, I guess just like wolf spiders. Each one of the cypress knees like was home to one of these, and they were like as big as your face. Yeah, and I remember one friend, Brandon, he's deathly, I've seen him scream when a spider's on him before. And at one point I just saw him I turned around and was looking at him, his eyes were closed and he was just like frozen, and one of those big wolf spiders was just crawling across his face. And he waited for it to drop off and it was just business as usual, and he's like, I just don't want to talk about it.
I need a shower.
That's crazy.
Oh man.
But had quite a few trips like that where it just, things just sometimes don't work out as well. And so I always like to think, if you're good to nature, nature's good to you. There was one camping trip took a few years back with one of the friends who went on that particular trip. We hiked, we got out to this one spot and we were going to hike like 5-6 miles into a camping spot. Well, it got dark quick and we were like, we got to find another spot. We couldn't find a good spot. So we actually climbed down a cliff face because we saw a nice sandy spot on the other side of this river. We had to cross the river with all our stuff. You know, we were like holding our packs above our head or whatever. Well, the next morning we decided to get out of there and we had to climb back up the cliff face. And I was climbing up, like I grabbed something and I knew automatically. It was like kind of hands overhead type. You couldn't see what was right above you. And I grabbed something and it was a big old fat rattlesnake. When I peered over the ledge, it was a big old timber rattlesnake. And he like slithered back into like a little crevice in the rocks, just looking at me, didn't rattle or nothing, but he was looking at me all coiled up. And I mean, he could have bit me and I you know, could have died right out there from a, you know, rattlesnake bite and no joke. So, yeah, when is it? You good to nature, nature be good to you.
Right,
true,
right.
True.
You don't just rip it out of its hole, throw it, toss it down the cliff face.
Well, and before then, and I still do this to this day, if I see like a rattlesnake or, I'll get it off the road.
Right.
You know, big turtle on the road, I'll stop, pick it up, take it off the road, you know.
Yeah.
Things like, I've saved a lot of rattlesnakes' lives. Bush karma. Yeah,
bush karma. All right, man. Anything you got on?
Now, I've been thinking.
Nothing too crazy. Like
the craziest one, and I can't remember the details enough because I woke up dead sleep to everybody hollering and screaming and we're leaving. But at some point.
That's a good start to a camping story.
Yeah. So we're camping. I don't remember the lake, but it was my parents, myself, and my brother. And my aunt and my cousins were also there at a. So anyway, I was woke up at like probably midnight by the police, like shining lights in camp, looking for somebody. Come to find out they're looking for my brother. I don't know what he was doing, but long story short, the police kicked us out of the tent, the camping spot that night. We all had to like pack up.
You're asleep?
Yeah, we had to pack it all up that night and leave right then.
God, that's the worst ruiner to a camping trip I can think of.
And I think what ultimately ended up happening was some crazy vagrant type dude like stole somebody's like tent stakes or something. It was, you know what I mean? And they blamed my brother. I mean, that was what they were looking for.
The closest thing to a vagrant we can find around here.
My brother. But so they were looking, that's what they were looking for, was those tent stakes. And they couldn't find them. And my mom and my dad was like, look, y'all don't have a right to just do this to us, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, they didn't realize my parents actually knew that what their rights were. So they were just like, get out of here. You know, they were a little
ridiculous.
Small town sheriff type, you know, didn't really understand. Right. They just thought they were going to manhandle everybody in the area, and then they realized
bully all out of there.
Exactly.
But we did leave.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Got you.
But yeah, it was exciting getting woke up by the police.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to jail, so I was like, whoo.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Now pack up.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Half drunk.
Yeah, I tell you, like, I'll be honest on that Pond Creek trip. There was many a times where, like, I would have prayed to have seen a police officer or a game and fish guy. Just be like, look, we were like basically lost the whole time, you know. And but any case, maybe quick break.
Yeah,
you have time.
Pee.
Do you have time?
I gotta pee.
All right, me too.
Hochatown Distilling Company.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsors this next listener interaction that we're about to do. So Hochatown Distilling Company, Mountain Fork Brewery.
Yes.
Both synonymous a little bit, right?
Right.
The Speakeasy in Hochatown. Check it out. They make that Spearpoint vodka, which we all enjoy so much, which was in show notes two episodes ago and was actually the net title of our last episode.
So. I saw that, yeah.
Because it was integral to the actual, you know, episode.
I agree.
Yeah,
for sure.
We polished off a bottle Friday night at Broken Bow Lake, and it was all great, and then until it wasn't.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with the vodka, though.
No, I don't.
So, but any case... great stuff. And I think I was talking about it. I think I talked about it last week because I've had a few people now. They listened to the podcast. They went out there. Absolutely love the selection of craft beers. They were talking about the sampler pack you can get. That way it's hard sometimes when you got a place that does a bunch of craft beers, like to, you know, you may not want to sit there and drink 20 of them, which you should. It's not a terrible thing, but you get the sampler pack and you can narrow down your focus. You know, I'm a creature of habit. I like to find what I like and stick with it.
Right.
You know?
Right. The Sneaky Snake.
Yeah.
That's my favorite, and I stick with that one. I'm just waiting for the local, convenience store here that originally had beer to get some of their beer. On the shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That could be nice. That could be nice.
Sure, that could be worked out.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question here. Don't know who it's posed by, but we're just going to hop right into it. All right. Y'all ready for it?
I'm ready to rock.
A little relationship advice.
Oh, okay.
Both of y'all can help with this.
Uh-oh.
I don't know about me so much.
You can. You have an outside looking in perspective.
All right, there we go. Yeah, I've seen a lot of relationships do this. let's launch right into it. I just moved in with my fiance and her two cats after 6 years together. Period. Now, the two cats don't come up for the rest of the question, but very relevant, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I just moved in with my fiance and her two cats after 6 years together. When we lived apart, I felt like we vibed really well together, but now that we're sharing the same space permanently, we've been at each other's throats, arguing constantly, not wanting to spend time together, and both getting irritated by the smallest of things. I find complete relief when I'm at work, and I just don't understand why. What kind of advice would you give to someone who is living with their partner for the first time? Do we have any chance of fixing this, or are we doomed?
Yeah. First thing, don't wait 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years is a long time to wait because the move in is the... Now, the only reason I know any of this is 90s sitcoms, okay? But the move in is that first... big step.
Right.
It's the, or maybe not the first one, but it's among the first few big steps.
It's a leap for
sure. Yeah. You move in after 6 years together and then you find out that you're not good together
exactly.
in close spaces at all, then that's something you probably should have learned 1 year.
You've basically been honeymooning for 6 years.
Right.
Because you don't live together.
Mm.
Those, as soon as you live together, you find out all the little things
mm-hmm.
that were. Oh, cute little nuances my honey does are actually aggravating and annoying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But 6 years now has gone by, so you've grown to love this person.
Yeah.
You want to spend the rest of your life with this person because you asked them to marry you, whatever. And now you're realizing for the first time that you can't live with this person.
Right.
Because before, that's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
They cannot live together.
Sorry. Before you... No. I didn't mean to step on you. Before... you were able to say goodbye, go home to your respective spaces.
Right.
You know, and this and that. And these little things that you, like you said, these little nuances that you thought were cute are now like everyday occurrences.
And they've become aggravating.
Yeah.
Annoying.
I could
tough.
Imagine.
6 years, you've built a very a deep and strong foundation for mm-hmm. a relationship, but it's also been... the foundation is based on separateness.
Exactly.
On separate existences at the end of the day. That's tough.
It's based on a false life. I mean,
because right.
you're not going to live that way. And now you've built that entire foundation, like you said, on something that will not be anymore.
Yeah, right. The whole relationship has been based on, for 6 years, that's a big part of the relationship is you guys not living together.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure you
and
spent-
now you're changing that long-established tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, have you ever had a sleepover with a friend or something like that? Or that we're older now, but let's take it away from the high school sleepover right. or whatever and just say, like, you crashed on a friend's couch. And that night was really fun
yes.
and whatnot. But then, like, he needs a place to move into, and now you're roommates or something, and now you're bits of, like, dude, you leave your toothpaste glops in the sink.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I have roaches because of you now.
Right. Like, so that type of stuff is going to become, and a good, real, serious relationship has got to be based on compromise a little bit.
True.
So you haven't needed to, really, like, because your compromise before was like, hey, do you want to come out tonight? No, I'm with the boys tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and that's the end of it. Or, like, you want to come over tonight? Or, you know, like, there's kind of this... You don't need to compromise so much, but when you're living together, that's a constant compromise.
Constant.
I mean, it's constantly like that. You got to compromise on everything, you know? So, I don't know, after 6 years and then you move in together and you're wondering if the relationship is not going to work, it's like, no, you got to reevaluate.
Yeah.
You got to totally sit down and totally reevaluate together.
So, let's say they reevaluate and decide that their relationship's worth saving, but so they're going to have to do something different.
Yeah.
They're going to have to implement purposeful alone time.
Yeah.
It sounds like that they're going to definitely, to start, just minimally, have their own time. Because they've, for 6 years, they've enjoyed the see you tomorrow.
Right.
Or the, you know, even if spent a few, I'm sure they spent weeks together at... both have your own place.
Right.
Yeah. You've probably spent a week or two together. She or he's got a toothbrush there, got some clothes changed just in case they got to go to work the next morning. So,
but just having the option, though,
is
such a huge thing. Just knowing, even if you don't take advantage of it, you know it's there.
Right. Yep. To be like, I'm not going to have you over tonight. You know, right. Something like that. Now, there's no choice.
You can make an excuse. You don't even have to say that. You
right,
can just
right.
say, I got to do all this work stuff. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just knock that out. I don't want to bother you with it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And yeah.
My thing, though, is so they've been together 6 years. They've obviously appreciated, at least one partner, I imagine, has appreciated the separateness of their relationship. What drove them to move together?
Right.
To change that whole thing? I mean, is it like a kid? Is somebody having a kid? You know, yeah. That's, I mean, get ready for everything to change yeah. then, right? I mean, that living together is going to be the least of your problems,
right?
You know, so. I don't know. That's a good suggestion is that you're going to have to incorporate some inherent alone time. Hopefully this is the place you guys are moving into. Maybe you it's got your own space. You've right. got your own space in it, you know, whether right. it's a game room, craft room, diva den, man cave, whatever.
But they're going to have to grow out of that too, because let's say they have a child.
Right.
You can't force alone time for a solid year. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You really can't. I mean, yes, you could. And if that is what it takes to keep your relationship sane, then I could see, yeah, even okay, you take the baby tonight while during our alone time.
Right,
I'll take the baby tomorrow night during alone time or whatever. But yeah.
You would know, does that happen?
What?
Like, you living together with babies and stuff, and it's like, is there a compromise there? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, there's always compromise. If
in a
you're
good
not,
relationship, I figure.
If you're not the one getting up, you're compromising.
Mm, right.
Or if
That's
you
true.
Are the yeah, one yeah. getting up, I should say. If you yeah. are the one getting up, you're compromising because you didn't make them get up
right.
with you. So there's a compromise.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. It's
I don't know, man. The thing is are you focusing too? Are you like really? Because if you've been together for 6 years and it's been great, but I don't know how long you've been living with this person, but like, are you really focusing on the bad parts and like
exactly.
also may, like so let's say out of the week you have two bad nights and five like whatever nights normal nights are
right.
you focusing really hard on the bad nights because they're that bad? Has it been 6 years of frolicking in the
exactly.
in the sun and flowers and then now you're actually challenged for your first reel? You've done this way too late.
They both could have now. They could both have some cold feet, if you will,
right?
And that's what's causing the fight. It may
right.
not be that they're, you know, actually not competitive or, you know, compatible
yeah.
in the home. It's just
right.
that now they're both like, oh, crap, is this yeah. real?
Which is something that you have to figure out, like, early in the relationship.
Usually,
a little
yes.
bit. Like, not 6 years later.
2 years later, maybe.
Yeah, where does decision yeah. come from? Did they flip a coin? Like, should we move in together
yeah.
or not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
obviously, like,
they've been flipping a coin for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, this year, okay, we move in together.
Maybe they're a little more traditional, and it came with the ring. He popped the question, and she, right. and then
oh
they
yeah,
moved
it's
in.
Fiance.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's
maybe.
True.
Maybe.
That's
I'm
true.
Just guessing.
That's
old
yeah, yeah.
fashioned.
Yeah, yeah, but it also proves that if we're going to go to their old fashioned ways, then they're going to have to work. They're definitely going to have to work through this because
right. yeah.
they've got parents and grandparents that did this. You know, that got married at 14 and 15. And did it for 82 years. You
yeah,
know what
right.
I mean?
Back when divorce was illegal.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly. Literally.
By the way, you're right. This is a fiance. This is a man writing me.
Okay.
And it's very vague. So therefore, it's like arguing constantly about what?
Right.
Are you on the video game? Are you video gaming
exactly.
like every
yeah.
night?
Good point.
Like, do you get like
I love video
also,
games, but I don't game every night.
Yeah. You're going to have to compromise. You're going to have to be honest with yourself and really be like, okay, I'm on my on Call of Duty with the boys every night. Like, God, I can't do that. You can't do that.
Right.
You know, so it's you true. Also, I don't know what you're arguing about, but you got to look at that. Are you arguing about what you're doing? Are you arguing about, like, you know, the way that you spread butter on toast?
Right.
Because that's some deep marriage crap right there.
Yeah.
If you're already doing that?
Yeah. yeah. If you're arguing about how many video games you're playing, then your fiance has just realized that she's married a man child.
I was going to say, you need to man up and get off the video game.
That's right.
Go now, do your chores, bro.
I'm not saying you are doing that. But
right.
if you are, you got to like also, if you're any
if it's
chance
hunting.
Of, yeah.
Maybe fishing is your video game.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Whatever.
Whatever it
whatever
is.
Whatever your
gotta,
thing is. Yeah.
You got to not do that. You got to,
right.
instead of the Sunday golf that you do that you're so used to, you might have to spend a few Sundays.
Take her to brunch.
Like to brunch with your lady. Yeah.
Like I said, there's a reason you guys didn't move in together
for 6 years. Right. And yeah, that's true.
And just to take out, because it just seems so old fashioned to me, I just couldn't imagine it. Like the whole like, well, we can't move in together until we're in, you know, properly officially engaged.
Right.
So taking that out of the scenario, because that's just too old fashioned for me to wrap my mind around.
Especially writing into the Regrettable podcast.
Yeah, good point. Absolutely. It's like there's reasons that you guys did not do this sooner. You guys have made this conscious decision, right? Like I said, it surely wasn't just a coin toss. It's just not an off-the-cuff kind of thing. So, like, you're going to have to, if the reasons now that you guys are deciding to move together, I mean, yeah, you got to kind of focus on that. Like, and one of the things that's got to be in your thought process is that this is a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, things don't just change on their own. They require people to change.
Yeah.
My mom used to say one of the biggest changes in becoming or getting a significant other is having to account account for your whereabouts to another person now.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing.
That's another thing. I mean, if you're going home to your own house, at that point, you really don't have to account anymore. I mean, you're probably texting and all that, but you're physically, visibly, you're not accounting for that person anymore.
That's such a good point. Like even right now to this day, when I go to hang out with some friends of mine and the wife doesn't come along, she always asks me like, so what time do you plan on getting home? And it like strikes this like subconcious thing where I'm like, ugh, this young man, that question. I'm a freaking adult. Like I haven't had to answer that question since I was a teenager.
But it's not because she's checking up on you. It's because she cares.
She wants to make sure. And that's where the compromise comes in. I have to not like lash out.
Yeah,
obviously, I have to not make an ass of myself. I have to understand.
Shut up!
Yeah,
well,
none of your business. Yeah. Actually, it is 100% her business.
That's right. She's relying on you to help then be the other half of this household.
Yes,
exactly. Like,
but my point is that it's still to this day, we've been married 9 years, together 13. It still aggravates me. There's still a part of me that gets aggravated when she says, what time are you going to be home? Like, I'll be home when I'm home, but I have to fight that. But that's the compromise part is I swallow that pride and I tell her because she deserves to know.
Right.
She deserves
That's why she married you, because you're not a complete doormat who's going to be like, I'll be home at 9:30, not a minute past,
ma'am.
Honey.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You still got that part of you.
Plus, you're honest enough that the reason why she's asking is because she wants to know where to look in the ditch if you don't make it home.
Yeah, right.
It's not because she thinks you're out running around.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So. Absolutely.
Each big step too is going to mean you changing. I mean, like it's moving in. It's the initial moving in, then marriage, then kids. Ideally, you know, that's the progression of things, right? Moving in, marriage, kids. Each one of those is going to wildly change you.
Yep.
And if you're not willing to change, any chance of fixing this, or are we doomed? That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's sounding like a childish question.
Yeah,
to be honest.
You're already thinking you're doomed, maybe she's doomed.
Right. That's right. I mean, are you really looking at yourself? And, oh man, I don't know.
But maybe she has now started bickering about every little thing he does and he can't do nothing right.
Right.
Dude, maybe you're seeing an inside of what she's really going to be like when you're married to her. So maybe we're reading you wrong, guy. Maybe she's just being a bee now and trying to control your life because you live with her. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in that case, you're getting an early look, bro. Get out now.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ken, ask yourselves, why did y'all decide now to do it? Surely not just for shits and giggles, okay? Like, there's a reason there. And man, try to build on, if that's your foundation for this, like, for changing, you know, everything that you guys have experienced for the last 6 years. Man, you're going to have to work off that. Like, it's not just a joke, anymore.
Right. Is it worth it?
Marriage and all this, like, because it's fiancé, it's moving in. Those are two things. So now you're looking at, like, a living in together marriage and stuff. To be honest, I've witnessed a lot of them. I wouldn't say fun is the word that I'd use to describe them. Now, strong and healthy, those are words I could use, but like fun and like, you know, kind of this loose, you know, right. feeling that maybe you felt for 6 years. Yeah, I'm dating this beautiful girl for 6 years. I love her and all this stuff. That's that still sounds fun and loose.
Yeah.
You're still in the fun stage, the moving in stage, yes, and sir. all that. That's never. I've never seen a marriage look super fun necessarily. You know, like it's more this adult thing where you got to man up, you got to woman up, you got to like make compromises, you know, think like I've seen people get married that I knew were childish, you know, beforehand. Right. And then they weren't after the fact. Okay. So that's the way it's got to be. Like,
sure, there's some human there's some part of every human that craves some stability. Right. And that's what the moving together.
Yeah,
that's what. And just to put the government spin on it, marriage. OK, because like at the end of the day, the difference between marriage and just living together, it's just legality. Yeah. Is all it is.
It's a piece of paper.
It's a piece of paper. So right. Taking that out of the equation is living together. That's you're sharing resources. It's bringing a stability that of combined resources. You know, like I live a lifestyle that I do now that I couldn't without my wife. I mean, right. unless I moved somewhere else, unless I sacrificed a lot of things to make more money somewhere
right.
else.
Right.
It's like you've been 21 for 6 years and then all of a sudden you're 30.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Exactly.
I mean, it's
good way to put it.
Yeah, it's you're going to have to. I mean, the thought of moving in with somebody and the marriage and kids and all that makes me want to run under into a hole. So if that's what you're feeling right now, you're not quite ready, my friend.
Right.
You know, or maybe you are. You just got to really take a step back because
it'll be the hardest thing you ever do.
Exactly. Right, right. Yeah. If you're asking, do we have any chance of fixing this or are we doomed? Like, well,
ask
it starts with you.
Yeah,
that's right. It starts with you stepping back and being like, okay, well, what can I fix? What are there's patterns, right? Recognize the patterns. What is she angry about? What are you angry about?
Right.
Like what, you know, you'll be like, okay, last week it was four of the same argument. So maybe I shouldn't, you know.
Maybe, all right, I'll fold the towels a little differently.
Right,
okay.
Right, right.
Right, exactly.
Maybe I shouldn't cook bacon shirtless. She doesn't like the speckles that are all over me. Like, I'm going to have to change that, you know. Like, and I know from watching marriages, there's deep little things that just aggravate you.
Yes.
You know, like
Absolutely.
Down to the way of like you that's how you're gonna eat your toast. That's it. For 10 years in a row, every morning you've eaten your toast the same damn way. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
No, Laura complains about the way I eat all the time. Yeah. So I know what you mean. No, I'm just
kidding. And I'd very much be interested in a follow-up explanation.
I
agree. I want to know what your arguments are about.
Give us some deets.
Is she sick of walking in on you and you're chugging milk out of the carton? You're like,
Your own milks.
Get your own milks
or
compromise and
get
you
a glass
and then wash it after.
There you go. Ooh,
yeah. Damn, and definitely, I'll just say again, 9 years. Of marriage, you've got more than that, Lindley. It's man, you got to know when to. Both of you have got to learn to pick your battles.
Yeah,
wisely. You can't fight every battle because you're going to lose the war no matter what.
Right. And if you truly fight every battle, you're just a selfish SOB.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
No matter how right you think you are, exactly.
Fight the battle that you know you need to win.
Because she needs to win some too.
Absolutely. Sure, you both need to take the things that, like, if you got to realize, like, what you're ideally looking at, if it's love, I mean, at least what the goal is the rest of your guys' lives. So,
true.
What, you know, are the thing that's maybe annoying her or that's annoying him right now, is it worth maintaining for the rest of your lives? I mean, some things will. Maybe the way right. you eat toast is really, like, you're not going to change that. Okay.
Right.
But that all you're going to have to change other things because, again, you're asking the other person to put up with it ideally the rest of their life, exactly. the rest of your life.
That's what you're planning on.
Man, exactly. Yeah. You're hoping for, right?
And marriage is not it's a non-zero-sum game. Okay.
Right.
Everybody can win, you know,
exactly.
but everybody can lose too.
Right.
Sometimes you have to lose to win.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're right. I've realized over the past couple like relationships that I'm like, I need to compromise more, which is why I'm just not interested right now because sometimes I'm feeling like a contrarian asshole, like that I've got to die on every hill,
you know,
instead of just giving some ground every once in a while. Like, for example, there was somebody I was with not all that long ago that was looking for a place to live. And they were like, well, I've checked out these like kind of cookie cutter homes that they'll bring to you, you know, and I'm going to drive 5 hours away to go check one out. And I'm like, well, why don't you go to the website? like look at the pictures or something. It's cookie cutter. It's gonna be the same. And I died on that hill. I was like, this is stupid. Why would you drive 5 hours there and then 5 hours back? Like, look at the online, look at the website pictures and call them and get the information you need. Don't drive all the way out there. And then like days after the fact, we were like arguing about it. It's like, you don't think I looked at the pictures on the website? You ass. I wanted to drive out and see them. Well, I saw no reason for that.
Right.
You know, you get the dimensions, get a measuring tape, figure it out. look at the pictures, and that's none of that matters. You know, like,
and people are so inherently different, right?
Right.
We have a lot, and that's where you're going to have to just rely on those commonalities, you know? One thing we were maybe talking about music, and I'm not going to just use this as a segue, but to some people, the sound of water is music. To other people, I guess Bon Jovi is music.
Right.
Okay. That's just, man, we're different people.
She loves him.
So you're going to have to.
John is a saint.
Yeah, is a god.
Yeah. If she just blasts Bon Jovi music and you absolutely can't hate it, dude, you're just going to have to. That's all right. You can put headphones on. She's probably not going to ask you to sit there and headbang to Bon Jovi with her.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of Bon Jovi. Don't hate his music, but not a fan. But I took her to a Bon Jovi concert,
right?
Because I love the woman.
That's what you do.
You know what I mean?
That's what you do. And you're just
a better man than I am.
Well, you just learn to. I mean, you're just, after a while, you're gonna have to be sitting there scrubbing a dish, going like, "Living on a Prayer."
So true. So okay, at I some stumbled point, with that song dude. At the concert.
Yeah, of
I
course,
did. I did.
At some point, you're gonna have to do that. So there you go. I'd like to follow up with you. To figure out what I want to know these arguments, and I want to know if you're listening to us being like, you assholes, I've looked back, it's just bickering at me, I'm trying everything I can, trying to make her happy, like, I don't, you know, I've spent 3 weeks not touching a video game,
and that's
or something
possible.
Like that. That's very possible.
We
so want
to know more, sir.
Yeah, and then at some point know when to cut your losses too. Ooh,
yeah
like, look, it's something Tyler told me once, is that no happy marriage has ever ended in divorce, you know. So if you're realizing that you're compromising and it's not getting you anywhere, then man, it's just not worth it. I mean, don't put yourself in a position, God forbid, y'all maybe have a kid, and now the ties are even deeper and deeper, and it's harder and harder to get
right
out.
Now.
You're not married, no kids.
Yeah.
Perfect time to just separate entirely.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. No harm, no foul at that point.
And by the way,
y'all will both be better people for it afterwards.
Right. I agree. I feel like he's a little bitter about the cats, too, because the cats did not need to be brought up.
Hey, I understand
that's
because
true.
My
the
wife
one
has
thing.
Three animals, and she loves all three of them more than me.
Right.
So I completely understand that.
Yeah, she's lived with the cats a long time, so she's used to them.
She's she's rubbing and touching the cats in ways that he hasn't been in 4 years. So that could be a little bit
That's
got
to be a huge part of it.
This
the fact
is a
only
dog,
thing
dude.
This person mentions is
there's only one specific point. Is that she has exactly two cats.
Yeah.
You sound like a dog man.
Yeah.
Why can't we get a dog?
Is really good.
Right? Why can't I get
both cats and dogs are attracted to the smell of antifreeze. Sweet. It has a sweet taste to it.
Shame on you.
Are you turning his mic off now?
Shame on you. No, and follow up on me, gentlemen. If I hit it big, I promise I will still come back and do the podcast.
Please. All right.
Yeah. Yes.
There we go. All right. Well, that's a great time to leave it. That question there was sponsored by Mountain Fork Brewery and Hochatown Distilling Company, but the whole entire podcast is, of course, brought to you by Laura Lindley, attorney at law in historic downtown DeQueen. They're burning it down. I don't know.
One building at a time.
Yes. Bilingual office. They speak Spanish there. 642-4462. They're licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. If you're like 5 hours away, we'll refer you to somebody else.
Exactly.
But if you're in this listening area, dude, Laura Lindley, attorney at law, nobody more sharp to take care of what you need. Anything else you guys want to add?
I love it.
Let's
gentlemen,
get the hell
it's always
out
a pleasure,
here.
Man. 25 in the books.
That's
baby.
Right. You got a plane to catch.
I do.
We got a lake to get in.
Yes.
That's the show, episode 25. Check us out, regrettablejtp@gmail.com, facebook.com/regrettablepodcast. That's the whole thing. We hope you all enjoy. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.